book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 6. I want to go down to verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be caught under the power of any. I want to concentrate more on the subject this morning of what Paul said, who Paul said shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Who Paul said shall not inherit the kingdom of God. To me, that's kind of a final statement. It's got a lot of finality about it. It's God's word saying, these people shall not, they're not going to, inherit the kingdom of God. No way. None of them. None of these people shall inherit the kingdom of God. And he gives a list of people. And this ain't the final list. This is just some of the list. This is not all of the list. It's part of the list. I'm going to say something right here, and I heard somebody say years ago, and I can see where a preacher might make this statement and how that it boils down to the sin of unbelief, not believing. He said that's what really keeps people out of heaven from being saved, from being born again. But I want to tell you something. Paul didn't give us this list for no reason. It's not just merely unbelief. It's being these things. Now, these things may be connected with their unbelief. But Paul is, the devils believe and tremble is what I'm saying. Amen. They may be, a lot of people believe with the head, not with the heart. But their life, who they are, who they want to be, who they choose to be in this life. You see, we have a choice. God has given us a choice today. And he sets before every man, woman, boy, and girl, life and death, doesn't he? Blessing and cursing. You've got a choice, amen? And you can either be saved or lost. Choose ye this day whom you'll serve, is what Joshua said. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You've got to decide. It's in your hands. You see, the Lord presents His gospel to you. And then it's in your hands whether or not you're going to receive Christ, whether or not you're going to open the door, whether or not you're going to let Him in, whether or not you're going to confess to Him your sin, repent of your sin. Jesus did say this, except you repent, you shall in no likewise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Repentance, a person must repent. Repent from who they are and what they are. Amen? Repentance of their unbelief, but also repentance of being a sinner. A sinner. But listen, there are others. It's more than just being a sinner. It's being types of sinners. Types of sinners. Are you listening? And there are things that are abomination in the eyes of God. Abomination for a man to be a certain way. It's detestable in the sight of God for a man or a woman to be a certain way. In the book of Corinthians, you'll find that Paul starts out in chapter number 1 talking about the preaching of the cross and saying it is the power of God. Talking about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and saying it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What He did on the cross, that is enough to save every sinner. Amen. In chapter 2, He talked about true gospel preaching and its divine purpose. You say, what is that? Well, it is the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You see, it's more than just a man. I heard a guy on the radio this morning, and he said, preaching is really just doing a book report. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. That may be all it is to him. But to every man of God, it is the power of God. It's the moving of God's Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of God would move upon us and anoint us, it changes. I'm telling you, it changes. There's a difference. Listen, a man can preach just like I'm preaching right now, and you feel like sometimes that, you know, it's just you standing here trying to obey the Lord. But then there's times when God takes over and everything is so easy. And the power really begins to flow. I'm talking about the anointing. It's the divine power of the Spirit of God that unctionizes a man, that anoints a man, that gives us that power, that dynamo is what it says in the book of Greek. The power of God, that we'd be filled with the Spirit. And when we are filled with the Spirit, there is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. And Paul talked about that in chapter 2. In chapter 3, he talked about the carnal state of the Corinthian believers. In verse 1, he said, "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." In verse 3, he said, "For ye are yet carnal." Ye are yet carnal. These were the Corinthian believers that Paul was charging them about how carnal they were. And he went on in verse number 9, and he told the Corinthian church that the men of God, he said, we are laborers together with God. Not the believer now, but the men of God, the pastor. For we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry. You're the believer. You. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. You know what he was saying? You're God's field, and you're God's dwelling place. That's what he meant by husbandry. Say, sometimes it interprets husbandman or like a farmer. But in this notation, if you look in the context, he's talking about them being a building, a dwelling place. Well, then it gives the other context of the husbandry then, that they are not the farmer, but the field. I'm the farmer. Are you listening? You are the field. I am a laborer together with God, and you are the field, and you are the dwelling place. And Paul said, it's the grace of God given unto me as a wise master builder. A wise farmer, a wise master builder, like an architect. Because you are God's dwelling place. God, give me the grace to be a wise architect, a wise master builder. Why? What am I doing? I am giving you the words of God by design to build your life. To build your life into the temple of God. And he told them, what? No, you're not. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He said, I've laid the foundation. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That is the foundation that we build upon. Amen. In verse 12 through 15, he talked about people building on hay, wood, and stubble. Just like in Matthew 7, I believe, he talked about the two foundations. Rock and sand. He said, no foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your foundation if you have the right foundation. If you have the right foundation. And he wanted them to know. Why? Because he's doubting them. He's talking about how carnal they are. And how sinful they are. And he's saying, I'm doubting your foundation. The real foundation, a good foundation, is Christ. And a good foundation can be built upon. He said, a man should take heed how he builds upon it. Amen? And so he said, the body must be holy, he tells them. He's telling them the building is holy. The body is holy. Why? Because many of them were saying, oh, I'm saved. I'm saved. Yet they were living in verse 9 and 10, chapter 5, 6 here. They were living like that. Many of them were. Many of them had been saved out of that. Some of them were still living in that. He told them in chapter number 5 about, he said in verse 9, I write unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. In other words, what he's saying, you can't get away from all of them. You'd have to get out of the world to get away from all of them. They're everywhere. That's how carnal man is. But he said plainly not to keep company with fornicators. That doesn't mean, what he was saying is, that doesn't mean you can't get out here and walk. Because there's fornicators everywhere. He's talking about keeping company with them. Actually keeping company with them. And not just fornicators of the world, but with covetous or extortioners or with idolaters. But he said, but now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother, be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. If any man that is called a brother, he didn't say if any man that is a brother. You see how he placed that? If any man that is called a brother. Why? Because you live like this, Paul's doubting whether you're really a brother. You continue living in these sins. You might be called a brother, but you may not really be a brother. He just got done giving them the gospel, talking about the power of God to change their life, talking about the foundation that Christ is, that they're upon, that they're a holy temple. And he's saying, this is how it's supposed to be built. But you're a fornicator. But you're an idolater. Really? This is your life? You're telling me that this is the way you're living? And this is the gospel that I know? This is what the gospel does for sinners? This is how the gospel changes sinners? If any man that is called a brother, with such an one know not to eat. Listen, we sometimes are more long-suffering than what the Bible tells us we should be. Now, this is New Testament, and it's hard to chew. But if you've got a brother, and I mean, they just continual. They won't quit. That's the life they're going to live. You're not supposed to have fellowship with them. Love them, pray for them. But listen, they need to know what it is to be outside of the fellowship of the church where God can deal with them, where God can speak to their heart. Are you listening? Because we don't know if they're saved or lost. They need God to deal with them. Amen? And if we're giving them everything that the church gives anyway, they're not going to feel like they're missing anything. Are you listening to me? You may not agree with that, but that's Bible. I'm telling you what the Bible. Listen, this is, it's hard sometimes when you have to give a Christian, what you'd say, chastisement. It's hard to do. It's hard to chasten your children, but you do it. It's hard to chasten someone that's called a brother, but you do it. But it's the last thing you do. You don't just, you know, oh, I heard they're doing something. I'm cutting them off. No. No, you go to them and you talk to them and you pray with them and you ask them what's going on in their life. And you give them direction and you give them instruction and prayer and love. But if their life is to lead continually in the flesh, then you have to break away. You have to break away. That's what the Lord said. With such an one, know not to eat. Now, Paul made a statement here that I want everybody to get a hold of. In chapter number 5, he said, "For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges." See, he's talking about them that has been put away. God judges them. "Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person." They're living a life of wickedness. Put them away from you. Put them away from you. Oh, my. He said in chapter 5, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." A little leaven, that's why he told us, to put them away. Down in verse 8, 7, 8, or 9, somewhere there, he said, "Purge out that old leaven. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." You keep that in the midst, you keep that around you, It's going to affect everything. It's going to affect everything. Oh, my. Then Paul comes down and he gets to the point where he says, this strong warning, these sins that are sending souls to hell. Know ye not? After all that's been said about the preaching of the gospel and the holiness of God and the transformation of the believer, you listen, the power of God in their lives, the divine intervention of the Holy Spirit working, and someone's living this way. He said, know ye not the unright? I mean, that is not the fruit of a child of God. That's the marks of the world and of sinners. And he said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Listen, it's everywhere. It's no wonder a lot of times in churches and places, listen, that revival's not able to take place. You've got people fornicating, lying, committing adultery. Amen. Thieves, robbers of God, extortioners, drunkards, all these things that he mentioned. One thing that's very dominant, and it's dominant in our generation, he said, be not deceived, neither fornicators. Fornicators. That's like prostitutes. Are you listening to me? For hire. Or not necessarily even for hire, but one who is sexually or morally unrestrained. They're out sowing their seeds. Our teenagers, they step into this a lot of times. Fornication. Idolatry, those image worshipers and image servers. Adultery, those that break marriage vows. Effeminate, that's those that are soft. They have feminine qualities, untypical of a man, not manly in appearance or manner. Abusers of themselves with mankind, that's sodomites and sex perverts. Homosexuals and bisexuals. God, listen, it's one sexual sin after another. Perversion of all kind. Clouding the difference between male and female. And completely erasing the home. And that's what our society wants to do. We need to be training and teaching our children. It's absolutely vital, important that you keep yourself chaste until marriage. That a young lady waits for a young man. That a young man seeks out a young lady. And he marries her before they ever know one another. Are you listening to me? And they make vows before God and their family, and they stay together, and they make a home. And anything apart from that is a perversion of it. Men with men, women leaving the natural use. Are you listening? It's perversion. Effeminate. Men acting like women. putting on lipstick and eyeshadow and earrings and nose rings and all this other mess. Listen, God, have mercy. The world, that's all that is in the world, they're all doing it. They're all marking themselves. They think it's a glorious thing. They tattoo themselves too. Now, that's another thing that they're doing, this marking themselves. Why? They don't even know. I'll tell you why, because God said not to. And they don't even know God said not to. There's a spirit that is driving the children of darkness to do all that is against God. And if you'll step into one thing, listen, stay with me. I'm not as dumb as some people think I am. I've lived in my life. I was a sinner, and I'm going to tell you something. For the most part, I was a shy, backward boy. All the way up to about the age of 12 or 13, I didn't even have a girl. Didn't even know what a girlfriend was. Ran over and asked a little girl to be my girlfriend in the sixth grade, and she said yes, and I ran away. She broke up with me the same week because I wouldn't go around her because I was embarrassed and shy. That's the kind of boy I was. That's how our parents raised us. They didn't tell us about every ungodly thing. Well, back then you didn't have a lot of TV to sit in front, but they sure wasn't going to shove nakedness and filth and cursing in front of us. I said something one time that sounded like a cuss word, and my mama slapped me across the mouth. And it started with friends at school. And, you know, noticing the guys were starting to wear their hair long. So I started growing mine. And as I got up into teenage years, the guys, the real cool guys, they put an earring in their left ear. I put one in my left ear. And then it leads into alcohol and drugs. Are you listening to me? A lifestyle, you know, just you know, start partying and having fun, they say. Having fun. You get led one step at a time into things that you never would have. Just start out. And it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. It's the devil just... And I thought I was a free spirit. I thought I was doing my own thing. I thought I was a big boy. I thought I was having a good time. Are you listening to me? I was going straight to hell. It's what was happening to my life. I was being lied to and deceived and turning worse and worse and worse than I'd ever been. Thank God for the day the gospel pierced my heart. Thank God for the day the gospel from a man of God got into me and shook me. Are you listening to me? And got me to see that I was lost, that there was a hell, that I was heading there, that I needed to be saved. Boy, all of a sudden, all that looked good began to look like chains. I couldn't get away from it. Oh, my. Listen, I didn't say any of that. I hope. No, I didn't say any of that. Magnify sin. I'm saying you can one little step at a time. That's what the devil does. He wants you to, you know, just lead you into, because the more he can get you to cooperate and do, and you think, well, that's not so bad. This is actually kind of fun. See, there's pleasure in sin for a season. The Bible says. Thieves, robbers, bandits, covetous, eager for gain, drunkards, sots, them that are tipsy, intoxicated, revilers, someone who speaks in an abusive or contemptuous manner about another person or thing. Someone that's constantly, you know, railing on somebody. Revilers, very contemptuous, you know, like a bully. You know, somebody's all the time wanting to put somebody down. That spirit is not going to enter into heaven. Extortioners, them that take things by force, shall inherit the kingdom of God. None of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because, well, if you read all of it, the gospel's got more power than to leave a man or a woman in this shape. The gospel's got more power than that. A person that truly lets the Word of God come in them and they confess to the Lord and come to Christ, they're not going to be like that no more. They're not going to be like that no more. Their life will be changed. Now the reason that he said, if any man that is called a brother, is because there's a possibility that any saint could backslide and do anything. But you can't continually, habitually live that kind of life right there. And if you're comfortable in that, you're not going to heaven. Reading the book of Revelations, he talked about a whole nother list of people that are without, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The Lord's going to come, listen, and there's going to be a lot of people left out. There's going to be a lot of people not go. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but not everybody's going. Only the redeemed, only them that are his field, his building. They've been made his. You're not your own anymore. You've been made his. I belong to him. And I'm being built that he may dwell there. Amen.